AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Look, my day job as a firefighter is tough, but my night job as a social media manager, my Persian cat Jinxie, that's intense. It's 8 p.m., I've finally gotten home from another 24-hour shift, and I just want to kick back with a cold one, but old Jinxie knocks my beer right off the counter and gives me that look that says, no drinking on the clock. But Heineken 00 keeps us both happy. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing. So I get my drink and I can still work on Jinxie's new line of merch.
Heineken 00, 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
A camel turner.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fighting Cock podcast. Today I'm joined by Windy. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good because Spurs are winning, even though it's hard to watch at times. Very, very difficult experience watching Tottenham at the moment because we're winning games, but it's not convincing and there are still defensive issues and all that. But what I want to talk about is something that's a bit more positive and someone that you know very well because you've watched him over many years and seen him his rise to the first team, Japhet Tanganga. How long, when did you first become aware of his talent?
When did I first become aware? I think I probably saw him play when he was 16 for the under 18s, and I liked what I saw straight away. He'd been in England age groups, so when players are included in England training squads or full squads at any age level, you know they've got ability. So if a player's represented their country, you're thinking, okay, we've got someone here that's worth keeping an eye on. And Tanganga had been identified quite early as someone who had this potential and could play for England. So there was a bit of hype, but hype within the sort of community of Spurs youth watching people. So his name wasn't widely known. And he took to academy football like a duck to water, was very, very impressive in kind of leading from the back. So he always plays centre back. That's the first thing to say. I don't recall him ever playing right back or left back for the academy. He may have done a couple of times, but it certainly wasn't a regular thing. He was a centre back, and he was a very sort of tenacious, brave centre back who would throw his body in the way of shots and put his head in the way when it mattered to make clearing headers, and led by example from the back. And yeah, just instantly caught my eye and was someone I liked, definitely.
When you say he's never played left back or right back, do you feel like he has played that for Mourinho? I mean, has he played left back and right back? I know he's played on the left side of centre back three and has filled in as a left back, but he hasn't been like a Danny Rose's position or anything like that, as far as I can tell. Maybe against City.
It's a very different formation, isn't it? That's the obvious thing. When Tanganga's playing fullback for Mourinho, it's like you say, a much more withdrawn role where he's not expected to provide much attacking impetus. But then having said that, in the Middlesbrough game where he played, the second game against Middlesbrough where he played right back, he was bombing on down the right, and he was being expected to kind of beat his man and put a cross in, and he did it really well. And that was one element of his game that I was surprised with, because he'd never kind of sort of shown that creative ability for the academy sides before. So that was a nice bonus.
I guess from if he's playing as a centre back, he's not going to get that opportunity to do it. But yeah, that marauding run down the right hand side against Borough was brilliant. It was really, really exciting, and added to his defensive abilities and how sure he's been at the back since coming into the side, to then see that he's really pacey and he can take a player on if he's playing on that right hand side, was just an added benefit, really. How did you feel then when Mourinho decided to pick him for the game against Liverpool, the best attacking side in football at the moment?
So as you can imagine, my mentions on Twitter went mental, because an academy player was playing that people didn't really know about, and some people knew that I'd been rating him for quite a while, but I'd kind of given up on him having a chance, particularly under Pochettino. I felt incredibly nervous on his behalf. I just felt like, please don't make a major error. Don't do what Kyle Walker-Peters did against Barcelona. Don't do anything that could be a black mark against you, because young players don't tend to get a second chance, where with kind of new signings will persist with them until they become good. So Sissoko, we went through a year of him being abject. Son took a long time to adjust to the pace of the Premier League. But because there were signings that were brought in on big wages and were big names, of course the club's going to persist with them and hope to get their money's worth. Young players don't get afforded the same chance typically. So a couple of poor games or even just average games, and that might be their chance gone. So I just desperately wanted him to get through the game unscathed, and he did way more than that.
Definitely. From the first minute, I felt comfortable. And I think it's because of my ignorance, and you know, like, I knew nothing about his development other than occasionally listening to you speak about him. But it was weird. I was just like, yeah, this feels good. This feels right. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but I feel completely comfortable with Tanganga, who's never played a first team match, if I'm right. Is that right?
He played in the League Cup.
Okay. Who played in the League Cup, but never had a Premier League game. That he's just going to come in and do okay. And it was such a high-pressure match with high risk for him to make mistakes. And, you know, I think it helped the fact that they played three at the back for that game, I'm pretty sure, and he was playing on the right-hand side. So he only had to play his game, really. But even still, you know, keeping that
front trio choir is a mean task for anyone, as we've seen over and over again. But by and large, he did really well. I think, you know, some people being ultra critical might have said that he could have done better with the goal where he got turned. But I think the same result would have happened even if Aldevera was there.
Yeah, I agree. And he made a block on the line within a few minutes.
Yes.
And it was funny because I tweeted something pre-match about like how he is a wholehearted defender and will throw himself at things and do, you know, make late blocks. And I think people like took that as a kind of proper football man comment. And then he goes and does it within 5 minutes. I was like, that's what I mean. That's literally what he does this all the time. And it's not that he's like a proper football man. He just anticipates the game well. And he knows when to drop back on the line and when to come out and meet a player who's taking a shot. He reads the game incredibly well.
Yeah, and it's that kind of defending that really the Spurs fans will attach themselves to, will really get behind. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Michael Dawson when, you know, Michael Dawson was a limited footballer, a limited defender, right? He had his good points and he had games where he was incredible, but he was very, you know, he was limited, right?
Yeah.
But his playing style meant that you just loved him. You could see he was playing for the shirt, and that's all you kind of want, right? A footballer is only as good as his coaching being brought up and the surroundings around him. And all you can ask from a footballer when they get picked by the manager is just really do all they can. And that was Michael Dawson in a nutshell. You know, when he'd attack headers, he'd do it with every ounce of ambition and passion that he had within his body, and put his neck proper through it. Do you know what I mean? And last ditch tackles and going like full blooded tackles on the wing to get the ball out. That kind of attitude is what fans love to see. And if that is a part of Tanganga's game, if he can continue to maintain this form, and it may be that his ceiling is higher than this, but even if he can maintain this form and just show an ambition and love for playing for Spurs, then I can't see him not being in the side regularly from this point forward, providing you know, he doesn't make any huge, massive errors or a series of them.
Yeah, this is a large part of his game. He has got that Dawson-esque element of just loving to defend, which in many ways is a bit of a lost art of the English game. But on top of that, he's kind of got the physical attributes that Dawson was lacking. So he's quick. He's really quick, actually, deceptively so. And he covers ground well. But he's also naturally really strong. So he's not the tallest player. You'll notice he's probably, 5'11", something like that. 5'10", 5'11".
Is that all he is? Because he feels bigger.
He's got a hell of a leap on him. He gets up so well. And one of the things I've been saying constantly is, we're really missing a trick by not putting him in the box when we've got corners. Because in my eyes, from what I've witnessed in the under-18s, under-21s, under-23s, he's one of the best players we've got in the club at attacking crosses. Really? He's incredibly good at challenging for aerial balls, and he scored a good number of headers for the under-18s in particular. So we should be having him in the box. People have said, yeah, but you know, he's good at defending on the run as well, so if we get caught on the counter, you need someone like that there. Well, I kind of think you've got plenty of other players that can do that.
Plus, he can get back quickly as well, can't
he? Yeah, exactly. If needs be, he can get back quickly. But he's so good at attacking the ball. I hope that's something we see eventually, because we're kind of weak from corners.
Just for the record, he is 6 foot exactly.
Is he? Okay, interesting.
But that's only an inch more than 5'12".
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised by that. I always thought he was a shade under, but he attacks the ball like a man much taller because he's got such a leap.
Yeah. Did you see his interview after the game?
It was joyful.
Wasn't it? It was lovely. Because, I mean, there wasn't much joy coming from him, because he is quite a reserved
He's
guy.
He's calm, very calm.
Very calm. He just barely looked like... It was almost like he's just taking it in his stride, which is what you want. But he did talk about that Mourinho came to him on the Tuesday before the game, which was a few days before the actual game itself, and said, do you want to play? And he said, yes, I want to play. And he said, you're not going to be nervous, you're going to be okay. And he goes, yes, I'll be fine, which is great. I mean, he probably definitely wasn't expecting that. And then he said after the next few days, he worked on shape. The three defenders worked on shape against Liverpool. And from that point on, he knew he was going to be in the side. And he talked about having two sleepless nights before the game, which shows he's excited for it, as well as, you know, has this nervous energy along with the calmness. But then what was really lovely about it was when the other players were saying, look, you're in training, you're coping with Harry Kane, Heung-min Son, Lucas Moura every day. You can do this. I just thought it was a really lovely thing how much he went on record as saying that his teammates helped him cope with the nerves and trust his ability.
Yeah, they do seem like a very supportive squad we've got. Everyone always talks about what a great group of lads they are. Mourinho's been very kind of up on the camaraderie in the group. And that can only be a good thing when you're a young player. You kind of need to feel a part of that and that you have the respect of your teammates and that they're there to... They've got your back, basically, if something goes wrong.
You mentioned earlier about players being exposed too young. They're not ready kind of thing. And it can... it's much more likely that a young player will be cast aside if he has a few bad games than it would be a new signing. Do you think that's one of the reasons why Troy Parrott perhaps hasn't featured much, because they're a little bit anxious? Kristen Hennage mentioned it actually, that a young striker, especially being thrust into the first team, that they may be protecting him somewhat because he's just signed a new 3-year deal. So it suggests they are in his plans, he is in our plans to play. But what do you think? Do you think that's part of the reason why we haven't seen any minutes from him?
So I tinfoil hat on, I think potentially they wanted him to sign the contract before they exposed him to first team football on a regular basis, because I think his contract was due to expire either this year or next.
So a German side could come in and pick him up or something.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if we're truly honest about the situation at Spurs with young players over the last 3 years, it's been a problem. So a lot of good young players have left the club because they couldn't see a route to the first team from the academy. So Mourinho started addressing that already, which is great, but it's going to take some time to change the perceptions. And what we don't want is our best young players, and Troy Parrott is certainly one of the best academy players we've ever had. What we don't want is him thinking, I'm not going to get a chance here. Look, Harry Kane's a striker. How am I ever going to overtake Harry Kane? I need to go elsewhere and find regular football. And what we want Troy Parrott to see is Harry Kane cannot play every game and I need to be there 50% of the time. And if I excel in those 50% of games, then maybe they play me and Kane together. And that's the kind of confidence we need to instill in a player like Parrott. I think we'll see more of him now he signed the contract. I could be wrong. Maybe Mourinho should totally be taken at face value when he said that he doesn't think Parrott's quite ready yet. But personally, I think he's absolutely ready, certainly physically. I mean, he played for Ireland. He played 60 minutes for the full national team of Ireland, and he did a very good job. You can see highlight clips of that performance. And
is it just, was great. Just the one goal? It's one game for Ireland, is that right?
Yeah. He just played the one game for them so far. I'm sure there'll be many more. Ireland have got a couple of strikers now who are going to be great together.
It's Connolly as well, isn't it?
And Adam Ida, the Norwich striker also.
18 is very young, though. Certainly at a club like Spurs, where there's a goldfish bowl once you're on the pitch and in there, all of the, if he makes his debut, all of the press are going to be looking at him. It won't be like Tanganga, where it was a complete shock that he came in. But with Troy Parrott, is that there's already a little buzz around him, and he's, like you say, he's made his full debut for Ireland. I just wonder that if... what player is ready at 18?
Sure. No, I can appreciate that. But at the same time, you've got Mason Greenwood getting regular minutes for Man U and Gabriel Martinelli getting regular minutes for Arsenal. They're both 18. They're both coping adequately. Parrott is certainly on the similar level to them in terms of ability. And I'd actually say he's way better physically developed than Martinelli and more able to handle with a kind of the rough and tumble of the Premier League, as it were. So I don't see a problem with him getting minutes. I'm not saying start Troy Parrott between now and the rest of the season. That would be absolute lunacy. But there's no reason why he can't get 50 minutes off the bench here, half an hour off the bench there, the odd start between now and May.
Mm. And we've got some games that he could play in Norwich in the FA Cup, for example. And like you say, Harry Kane, if as long as he stays at Tottenham, he's going to have to be managed because he has significant injuries every season. Like, he's out for a significant amount of time every season. Every year we have to cope with his absence. And maybe, and certainly this groin injury, where it wasn't an impact injury, it was that's about wear and tear and the amount of game.
Of course. Exactly.
So Troy Parrott actually needs, if he is good enough, which you seem to think he is, and you know you're a better place than me, then like you say, he does. Mourinho has to start using him when he almost when Kane comes back, if not before, because you know there's no point in having him at a football club. And I wonder if Troy Parrott would have signed the contract if we'd have bought in Piątek or Giroud on a 2 or 3 year deal, whatever it would have been.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sort of encourages him that we didn't sign a striker. If we'd signed a striker on a 2 year deal and Troy Parrott hadn't signed the contract, I wouldn't have blamed him, to be honest, because that would have been a blocker for him.
Yeah.
And there were many clubs across Europe who would take Troy Parrott and basically use him immediately. So I wouldn't have blamed him. I think now he's signed this contract for another 3 years. We've got that kind of security that we're not going to lose out any value on him. I hope we see some of him between now and May, and I hope he shows what he can do, because he's a very, very capable player. He's kind of got everything. He's well set to become a very good footballer.
I wonder if you know, Spurs were looking at it and looking at a striker deal, and there was kind of noise from Troy Parrott's side that saying, look, I'm not going to sign his contract if another striker's been brought in. I respect what you're doing. I understand why you want to bring someone in. But the club know that they do have this special young talent that perhaps they don't need a second striker, and Troy Parrott is the man. And that is the plan of action. And I know it doesn't placate many Spurs fans because they just want to see this big name come in or a reliable striker. But if there is a plan for Troy Parrott and it involves first team football for him, then maybe that is the best solution, or a solution to our striking problems.
Definitely. And I think the good thing about Tanganga coming through is it kind of shows the average fan who doesn't really know much about our academy, it shows them that the gap between our under 23 players and our first team players is not as big as many would think. I'm not saying at all that, you know, we could just parachute in kind of five players from the under 23s and they'd all cope as well as Tanganga has. Like, that's completely unrealistic. But one a year, absolutely, 100% we could manage one a year from our academy, and you know they'd be just as good as most kind of squad signings for sure.
Yeah, Tanganga's ceiling. Like, haven't you watched the development of these players? And I remember the last centre back you raved quite about was Carter Vickers, who hasn't gone on to do amazing things, struggling in the Championship, sort of flitting between loans. Is he still even on our books?
Yeah, he's on loan at, he's on loan. I forget where at the moment. He's just gone out.
He's on the, I think it's the team, we were at the bottom of the Championship, I remembered. But he's gone to Ipswich. He's played all over the place, really.
Yeah.
And has never really kind of cemented it.
Luton. He's gone to Luton.
Luton, yeah. So I think they're down the bottom somewhere. But I'm not saying, I'm not asking the question, you know, about whether or not Tanganga will go the same way as Carter Vickers, because you rated him as well. It's more about, like, it's everything you've seen up to now convince you that Tanganga could have achieved what he has done the last 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, and looking back on Carter Vickers, I think he's one who was incredibly highly rated when he was like 15, 16.
Because of his size?
Because of his size, partly. And he kind of got this reputation because he was playing for the US under-23s at 16, and then he played for the US national team. And I'm not saying that he wasn't a good player, because he was very, very good in the under-18s, very good. But definitely there was a point where I think quite a few youth watchers went, okay, yeah, maybe he's not quite as good as we all thought. Like, he definitely wasn't as good on the ball, for example. Tanganga's better on the ball. We've got other good young players like TJ Ayoma, who's just gone out on loan for the first time, who is definitely not as good defensively as Tanganga, but he's probably more elegant on the ball. We've got Lyons Foster, who, although he's a bit smaller, he's a very promising young player as well. And then we've just lost Lewis Binks, who's gone to join Montreal Impact, but he was another one I really liked. So Spurs have got a kind of a good production line in terms of centre-backs. We've got a good reputation for developing centre-backs. And Tanganga, for me, was one that was always at the top of my centre-back lists.
Okay, before I let you go, Windy, tell me about some of our other prospects who you think could potentially break through into squad before the end of the season or into next season. Could maybe start with the kid who was your left back, Sirkin, is it?
Yeah, Dennis Sirkin. Yeah, so Sirkin's a really interesting one, because He's another one who was in England groups from a very young age, so you know he's good just from that. He came into the under-18s. I think he might have made his debut at 15, but as a 16-year-old who's playing regularly for the first time. I saw him in a youth tournament when I think he was 15 or 16, and he had an absolute nightmare of a tournament. He looked awful. And so I went, well, I don't get the hype with this guy. What's going on? And a few of my friends who also watched Academy Football just said, no, keep watching. This is just a bad tournament. Players have bad games. He's very good. And I saw him again, and he was the best player on the pitch next time I saw him. And I was like, okay, I see it now. I see what I've been missing. Serkin is a very sturdy defender. He's, for a 17-year-old, he's very well built. And this sounds incredibly creepy, but is not meant that way. He's got massive thighs, really, really like meaty thighs, which set him up really well for being a Premier League fullback, I think.
I've had to Google
that. Up and down the pitch, Rob.
Straight away. I've Googled
to look at his thighs.
Oh, mate, they are sensational, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're like
grown
men thighs.
I know, right?
Like, why are they so big?
I don't know.
They're like, honestly, they're bigger than, they're like, you're talking about, you're like Aurier size thighs.
His thighs are bigger than my torso.
Mad. Yeah. All right. Like, if his thighs are anything to go by, he's. Let's go. Go on. So tell me more about him.
I sort of see him as a very good defensive fullback. He definitely is good at going forward with the ball as well. But like where Walker Peters was renowned in the academy for being an attacking fullback, what Serkin focuses on first and foremost is his defending, and that's quite refreshing in a way. It's nice to see a defender who likes to defend. And I think he'll be good at both ends of the pitch in the future. But a left back who can defend is always going to be helpful.
Well, certainly in our current
Mourinho team.
Yes. Go on. Anyone else that kind of excites you? Is he under 18, Serkin, or has he been playing for the 23s?
He's moved up to 23s, but he's either 17 or just 18.
He's 17. I just looked at his profile.
So he's still a young lad. But Mourinho obviously likes him. He basically name checked him within his first week, and then started including him as the 19th man in first team squad. So he's definitely one he likes.
With the 19th? Was it like a spare one?
They always take a spare man or two on their trips,
traveling
for Premier League games, just as an experience for them. But also, if someone gets injured in the warm up, they can draft them onto the bench or whatever.
Fair enough.
So he's been going along. He's also been on the bench a couple of times under Mourinho, so definitely is in his plans, I would think. And there are some other good players. It's difficult to get a handle on who he likes best out of the next few. So there's not been any kind of obvious signs or mentions of particular players. Mm. But I really like Harvey White, who is a central midfielder, who started off as a number 10 and has progressively got deeper and deeper and deeper. But his main attributes, I suppose, are his set piece delivery, which is just, he's a left footer and he takes an absolutely awesome corner or free kick, scores a lot of free kicks. Someone compared him to James Ward-Prowse, which I think is a very, very good comparison, because they're both tenacious players who have particular passing ability, but perhaps lack a little bit of mobility. So I think that's a good comparison. And I think if White can have a career as good as James Ward-Prowse, he'd have done well.
Oh, mate, yeah, I rate him highly.
He's good. He's a good player. I mean, he's not like a player you'd covet for our first team, but he'd be a good squad player.
You saw how Hasenhüttl reacted when he was... Mm. I don't know if you saw it. Was you at the game? Mm. Well, Hasenhüttl,
I wasn't at the game. I was watching on the stream, yeah.
He was destitute, and luckily for him, it was just a gash on his leg. Sesson Young, actually, after that challenge, looked pretty distraught.
He did, didn't he?
He thought he'd really hurt him, but luckily he hadn't. But Hasenhüttl said if we lost the game and lost Ward-Prowse, it would have been an absolute disaster. He rates him that highly. And there was always this player that managers kind of pin their tactics and build the team around. And while Ward-Prowse isn't this... Like you say, he's not a flair player. He's not a standout. He just does delivery. He's like 7 out of 10 every game.
Yeah.
And occasionally 8. I'm just looking at the squad now, just picking a couple. Maurizio Pochettino, any good?
No, I think he'll be gone. I think he'll be gone come the summer. So what's quite interesting about that is that we seem to have completely changed our approach now with the development squad since Mourinho came in. So did you see in the transfer window, we sold two of our young players. We sold Tashaan Oakley-Booth and Paris Mogoma. yes, who were both 19, I believe. And that was quite unusual because under Pochettino, we just hung on to players and hung on to them and hung on to them until they were like 22. And what Mourinho's done is any players 20 or over are out on loan or gone.
Yeah.
And any players, I mean, and then he's got rid of Magoma and Oakley Booth. And you know, that's great for them because it means they get to start their careers. They get to become footballers, which is all they want. And they'll have a defined career path. And they probably weren't good enough for Spurs. So it makes sense. What that then does is that frees up spots in the under-23s for younger players to come in. So sending like Shiloh Tracy out on loan to Macclesfield suddenly means that we're playing Keon Etete or Etete. I'm not sure how you pronounce his surname, but the kid we signed from Notts County is a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
He's now been moved up from the 18s to the 23s, which is brilliant for him. And apparently, so he was one I thought we'd just signed to make up the numbers. I thought, okay, well, they're going to play Parrott higher in the 23s. So they've signed Etete to fill him for the under-18s. No, apparently he's actually really good. He's 6'4", but he's actually really good with his feet as well.
Where does he play?
He's a striker, he's a centre forward, and he's now playing, he'll be now playing under 23 football. So in a year's time, we'll know a lot more about him and maybe he'll be ready to go out on loan and get some league experience. And then, you know, the production line then always has another player ready to step in, which is great.
Do you remember when there was this idea that Daniel Levy wanted to make, is it 800k off of every academy player to break even?
I think it may have even been 400, but yeah, inflation and all that. So why not 800?
So what was that then? It was just the benchmark, and this was a time when Bentaleb was sold. That was when this was talked about because he went for like a lot of money, didn't he? Like 14 million in the end.
Yeah, I think it was like a theoretical number that kind of almost paid for their development.
Yes.
You know, if a player's joined Spurs at the age of 8 or 10, the amount of coaching they get, and it's not just coaching, it's teaching. You know, we also operate like a college at the academy, so they have lessons as well when they go to the Tottenham academy. So there's a lot more that goes into it than just coaching. That, you know, they're some of them are staying with host families locally. That costs money, that costs the club money, so there are costs associated with developing young players. I guess that was like a theoretical figure. If we can average out at 400k per player, then we're breaking even kind of thing, or even making profit. But, you know, you mentioned Bentaleb there have been so many young players that have been sold on for big money. Mason, Livermore, Townsend, Kolker, you know, now Walker Peters will probably be sold, Carter Vickers will probably be sold,
and then
Tom Carroll.
Then if you look at the value of Winks, for example,
million plus,
yeah, and you know, Harry Kane, like, is
100 million.
Yeah, exactly. So it's in terms of what our academy has done. And I think a lot of time, do you know, me and you had a, I wouldn't say call it a set to, because we've never really had a set to, but we had a slight disagreement in opinion and where the direction of the squad. And I think you're going to remember what I'm talking about in a second, where you were complaining about the lack of opportunity that some of our academy players are getting. And I was like, I don't care. Just buy players. If that's going to fix us quicker, just fucking buy the players. I don't give a shit whether they're young. I'll just buy players that are going to make us better. But then when you look at this, it's take a step back from being a little from being gammon, and then just take a step back and look at this. What the academy, in terms of finances that the academy has provided for the football club, insane amounts of money that our academy has generated. Huge. Like you just said, if we could just tot it up in the last 5 or 6 years, Kane, 100 million, Winks, 30 million, Bentaleb went for 14, I think. Mason, what did Mason get sold? Was he a free?
He got sold to Hull?
Yeah.
For what, like 12 million, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. Anyway, it's just, you know, it's just, you mentioned Kulker and Carl Walker-Peters. You know, these are... even Danny Rose, you could argue. I know we bought him from Leeds, but you know, in terms of our training of youth players, while many don't break into the team and like essentially become essential players for the club, the ones that do, Tanganga now, like his value just by playing these 7 games must have gone from what would we get? Probably get 3 or 4 million for him if he was sold.
If that. He was out of contract at the end of the year.
Fucking hell. So we'd have lost him on a free.
We'd have lost him on a free.
And gone from now, someone coming in and looking that he can do already, and you'd be thinking closer to 10 million, right?
So, oh, 100%, yeah.
Just because of his age and the fact that you can cope in the Premier League. And that's not to say that he will go on and do excellent things. Who knows? Hopefully he will. Football's very funny. But just by coming in and playing these games and being trusted by Mourinho, that's 10 million worth of talent that we have now have. And if he continues along this vein, then who knows? His age is incredible.
And this has always been a big part of my argument. I'm not in favour of just filling the first team squad with academy players for the sake of it. Yeah. That would be a crazy thing to do. But you've got all this talent at your disposal. We're one of the elite academies in the country, which happens to be one of the elite talent-producing countries in the world. We've got all this talent. Let's maximise it by creating value in the players. So send them on loans, get them exposed to first team football, give them a couple of sub appearances in the cup. Like Alex Pritchard's another one. He barely played for our first team. We sold him for a huge amount of money. You then use that money you make to buy first team players.
Yeah.
It's such a logical business plan. Chelsea have done it for years. It's easy money, essentially. So you'll get the occasional Harry Winks, and once in a generation, you'll get a Harry Kane. That's a bonus. Everything else is just, it's all adding to the pot.
Yeah, as ever, Windy, you prove to be correct. It's just that you...
I can see that image of T's eyes open wide as you say that.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we're now videoing the main podcast that you can... If watching us talk is something you want to do, then go to patreon.com/thefightingcock. And obviously, anyone who listens to this is going to know what the extra inch is. But this is a reminder to go over and listen to Nathan, Bardi and Windy speak about Spurs, because it's great. And it's honest. And it's sometimes not what you always want to hear, but you've got to say what you believe, right? And what I'm talking about is Nathan's breakdown of the game against City. Blackburn. Not Blackburn. What the fuck? Who did we beat? Wolves away.
Yeah, Nathan's been getting a little bit of stick recently because he wasn't very happy with the Jose Mourinho appointment, and he fears that the style of football is going in the wrong direction. And I think as he sees Mourinho evolve with us, I think he's kind of... Each day he's like reevaluating his opinion. And that's the good thing about Nathan. He's not completely set on one way of thinking. He's open to changing and evolving his opinion over time. And, his point was more, you know, Mourinho is a great manager or has been a great manager, but he might not have been the right fit for Spurs. And he still thinks there were a better fit for Spurs when we appointed Mourinho. Mm. I think that's a very reasonable take, to be honest.
No, it is. But when there's... someone being reasonable being something, you know, in terms of football fans. Someone being reasonable isn't a thing in football, is it? We're just...
No.
If we've just won and you hear someone start digging them out, it's like you're spoiling, you're shitting on our parade here. Yeah.
That's what you all had to go, at me about that, didn't you, after the City game?
Windy. Mate, you were right. You were correct, right? You were 100% correct.
It was just my timing was off, right?
Your timing was horrendous. So just let's enjoy it. And then, but you know...
I think the thing is I processed things really quickly. So I was like, I'd really enjoyed the win. I'd had a few beers, had a great time. And then I kind of got home. I was like, I'd moved on to the next game. And I was like, oh shit, it wasn't that good.
That's fine, mate. Just keep it to your fucking self.
Yeah, you're right.
One more thing I forgot to mention that I thought it was quite important is you've got Harry Kane, who's from Enfield. Harry Winks is from, where's he?
Hemel Hempstead,
that's correct.
My hometown.
And then you've got Tanganga, who's even closer in Hackney. Isn't it incredible that you've got like three players in the club as like a global franchise that Tottenham has become, a brand that's recognised wherever you go in the world, that we've got three starters currently that are from a stone's throw of the stadium. It's a lovely thing.
Mm. Yeah, there's some impressive local clubs in our catchment area, which I think definitely helps. Spurs, you know, Hertfordshire, Essex, even Cambridgeshire are kind of good catchment areas for Spurs, for young players. And we've got a scouting network at that level. People who know the club can feed young players in when they excel at their club. So, yeah, it bodes well for more local players in the future.
When you say clubs in the catchment area, do you mean like clubs that have been renowned for bringing through major talent?
Yeah, exactly.
What, like
I can't remember that. There's two clubs, and I can't remember.
It's one that Defoe was in, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There's that one, but there's also another one which name escapes me.
Yeah.
They have good links with Spurs. They're a big name in kind of youth football anyway. So players want to join them. So they end up having a selection of the best players, and then they've got links with Spurs and links with other clubs. So you get a natural pathway there, which is great. Great for us.
And finally, is there any laws that prevent teams stockpiling players from other countries, or do you have to have a certain amount of your intake from your directly local area, or is that?
I don't think so anymore. I think that's all gone. But to be honest, most academies might have like one or two players from abroad. So we've got this kind of Spanish midfielder called Iago Santiago, who you might remember we signed probably 6 months ago now. It was a bit of a story for some reason, but yeah. other than him and Maxi Taino, who is Timu Taino's son, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, and Poch's son. I think that's it for the sort of European or foreign players in our academy.
Is he like you know Pochettino, his son Maurizio? Was he genuinely only drafted in because Poch is his dad? Can you see any other reason?
I can't see any other reason.
Oh my God!
I'm not saying he's awful. He's not an awful player, but he's definitely not at the level of players you would expect in Spurs Academy.
That's crazy.
But even worse than that is I think we kept on a number of players post 18 that we wouldn't have got rid of, that we would have got rid of previously because they wanted to keep Maurizio on.
And that's just keeping his dad happy. You're thinking about the situation.
I'm riffing. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. Pochettino likes to hoard young players anyway. He like I mentioned before, he would keep a lot more players than I would feel comfortable with, because I think it's better to be having some natural churn. The players that aren't going to make it, let them go and have a career elsewhere, bring through the younger ones, then the under 16s step into the under 18s, and it all kind of feels like it makes logical sense.
Yeah.
But Poch kind of hoarded them a little bit.
Even having your son in the side is a conflict of interest, in my opinion. I know this.
Well, he had both sons at the club because the other one was a sports scientist.
Crazy, isn't it? Anyway, I think in the wash, or like the Pochettino, like there'll be some stuff coming out about Pochettino in the long run, that maybe he was a tyrant at the club and he was I like that idea, don't you? Like some sort of fucking mystery that there was a murder that he covered up.
Yeah,
some cleaner got murdered.
That's CJ Demui from Eggheads.
I don't know what that means.
You know, he claimed that he pushed someone in the canal on an icy cold night and essentially murdered them. I think he might have said it in an article that he either wrote or was interviewed for.
I don't know.
And then people were going, did he just admit to a murder?
Did he just admit? Yeah, because it was a homeless man in Amsterdam. I remember it now. What a stupid idiot. You never admit to a murder, ever. It's bad. It's a bad idea. I just think to close the podcast off, I think that Pochettino, after a particularly bad result, may have punched a dinner lady at the club a bit too hard and killed her, and that there was a big cover-up around it, and that was part of his downfall.
R.I.P. Ethel.
Ethel, yeah, R.I.P. All right, mate, thank you so much, and we'll speak soon.
Yeah, take care, mate.
Cheers, pal.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners' or renters' coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners' or renters' coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.